Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Sha Marie, and today is Sunday. So that means it's going to be a little bit of a longer one than Tuesday or Thursday. So, and it is picked by Million Dollar Baby off of Twitter, because for some reason I didn't believe Twitter even worked. But lately, Twitter's popping, and that's where it's at for me. So, I love all my Twitter people, my Twitties. Anyhooser. So, she picked Skylar Nisi. And, when she picked it, I was like, oh, I don't think I know that one. Thanks, I'll look into it. And then I looked into it, and I was like, ooh, ha ha ha. I know this story. So, I will tell you all. And once again, I will pre-warn everybody. I don't want to hear, oh my God, you're mean. You talk shit. I do. That's why I love doing this. And that's why people ask me to look into stuff, is so that I can't talk shit on people. So shut up. All right. Skylar Annette Nisi was born on February 10th of 1996. She was an All-American girl. She is the only child of Mary and Dave Nisi. At the time of what happened to her, Mary worked as an administrative assistant. Damn, yeah. In a lab. And Dave worked as a product assembler at Walmart. Skylar was an honor student at the University High School. She wanted to become involved in criminal law. She was working at Wendy's with her two friends the time of her disappearance. And I didn't know that Twitter was so popular. I think I just literally skipped over Twitter like my whole life. But on July 4th, 2012, 2 days before she goes missing, she tweets, "It really doesn't take much to piss me off." Okay, that's one tweet. And then another tweet of, "Sick of being fucking home. Thanks, quote, quote, friends. Love hanging out with you all too." Okay, so we know on the 4th, she's salty. Something has happened. The day before she goes missing, she tweets, "You doing shit like this is why I can never," all capital, "never completely trust you." So on July 5th, 2012, she goes home to her family home in Star City, West Virginia. They live in an apartment complex after she finishes her shift. Okay, so she goes in, she says hi to her mom and her dad, tells them she loves them, and says she's going to bed. So they believe she is going to bed. Well, then the next day, her dad comes home on his lunch and he's like, "I have to take her to work." And so he goes to her door and he sees that the bedroom door is still closed and the house, it doesn't look like anybody's been up and moving. So he's knocking, blah, blah, blah. He goes in. He realizes her bed is still made and the window is lifted and the screen to her bedroom window is gone. And so he's like, okay, she snuck out. So he calls her mom and he's like, "Have you talked to Skylar?" And she says, "No, I'm pretty sure she's just doing normal kid shit. She'll get in trouble later. It'll be fine. If you're really worried, call her best friend, Shaylin, and see." So he calls. And he calls her. And he's like, "Hey, have you seen Skylar?" And she's like, "Oh, I saw her last night. Why?" And he's like, "Oh, this doesn't seem right. I don't know yet." So they wait. They call the police. And the police say, like, she's not a runaway yet. Has to be the whole 48 hours thing. I mean, she's not missing yet because it hasn't been 48 hours, sorry. And then that she was just a runaway, she is being dramatic, and that she will return anytime. Anytime between now and then, she will return. Well, the parents are going crazy, okay? Absolutely insane. So, Shaylee, we'll go with Shay. I don't fucking know. Shaylee. I like that better. And I think that's really it is. I think it is Shaylee. Her and Skylar met when they were 8 years old, okay? This is a friend we have known since 8 years old. Well, it was her, Skylar, and a chick named Rachel. These three musketeers, they were always together, always the BSFs of the BFFs of the BFFs. Skylar's mom says that Shaylee was kind of like the ringleader and Rachel was the follower that would do anything. So then Mary gets a phone call and it's Shaylee and she's like, hey, I need to tell you the truth. Shaylee. Fuck, I really don't remember. It's totally Sheila. I'm comfortable and confident. Dude, I get so scared ever since you guys know what episode. Names are terrifying to me. Anyway, so she calls the mom and she says, like, of course, okay, I need to tell you the truth. She did sneak out. We were with her about 11:45 or so. Skylar was throwing a fit, told us to drop her off 2 blocks away from the apartment. So the mom's like, oh my fucking God. Okay, what? And so they start looking, of course. And so they're going around the apartment complex. No one's seen her. And then Mary remembers that they have a surveillance system. So they get the landlord. Sheila comes over and she watches the surveillance with them. Okay. With her parents. And she's like, whose car is that? Because you can't really see the car. And she's like, I don't know what's happening. So it was just fucking bullshit. Just bullshit. So when he goes, another thing he notices in her room is that her cell phone charger is still in the wall. So he knows because of that mainly, and because she's a damn teenager, that if her cell phone charger is there, this girl's coming home. She has no intentions of not coming back. And because she did leave the window ajar so that she can get her fingers in to lift it up. So, like I said, these three girls were always together and they held a candlelight visual. The girls were there. Rachel and oh my God, I'm not even going to say her name. They were there. And then they were at, when they were there, they were like hugging the parents and giving condolences. And then, like, 2 weeks after, she shows up at the apartment. Sheila does. She shows up at the apartment and she's like, hey, can I go and sit in Skylar's room? I know this sounds weird, but can I just go sit in there? And so she goes and she sits on Skylar's bed and just bawls. And she's like holding a picture and she's like asking Skylar's mom, like, why would she do this to us? What happened to her? Where is she? I miss her so much. She's my best friend. And this little girl is sad. Her best friend is missing. So you have three devastated children. Just one's missing. Two of them have lost their best friend. We don't know what happened. So Sheila Eddy was born in September of 1995. She was 17 years old at the time. I'm not going to tell you. She was born in West Virginia. I'm not going to tell you her parents' names. Rachel was born in June of 1996, so she was 16 at the time, and she is the only daughter of her parents, and she grew up in Morganstown. I'm not exactly sure where that is. So, like I said, these two girls are missing. I mean, not two girls. The one girl's missing. The two girls are sad. They are beyond sad. Cannot find them. So when they go to the tape, they know that exactly at 12:30 a.m., Skylar climbs out of the window and into a vehicle willingly. Willingly. So her mom and them breathe for like a second. They're like, whoa, okay, good. Thank goodness she wasn't kidnapped. she's gotten into whoever is in this vehicle willingly. And still, best friends were devastated. We don't know whose vehicle it is. We dropped her off at 11:45. They claim, they say. So when they do that, they start looking into like her friends and stuff. They start investigating the friends and doing their jobs, obviously. And they are starting to see that maybe those girls aren't so truthful. Okay, we're just gonna, right now we're just like, maybe they're not so upfront about the truth. And so they investigate and there's this one cop on the YouTube thing I watched about her that, oh my God, this lady was precious. She was like, no, I knew these little bitches were lying and I was going to find out. And so finally, she's been missing for quite some time. It's a couple months later. The cop comes to talk to Skylar's dad. And he's like, Dave, do you believe that these two girls are telling the truth? And her parents stick up for her best friend, do they? Or like, I need you to stop insinuating that they did something, because they never would. They were her best friend. Sisters. Stop insinuating some shit. And the cop looked at her dad and he's like, well, what if I tell you I had some proof that she's nothing but a liar? And he shows him the surveillance video. I mean, a picture from a still from the surveillance video, and it's her car. And he says, quote, that little witch told us she was at home in bed by midnight. So that's when her parents get the tip off that these girls know something more than they have actually been letting on. So it goes a little bit longer. And then finally her birthday comes around again. And they are having a barbecue at the party, a barbecue for Skylar. And one of her dad's friends had a hookup at the courthouse. And he pulls Dave aside and he's like, hey, I have it on solid ground that Rachel has confessed to the murder of Skylar. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, what? These girls have, we've been consoling them. Like, her mom said that at one point in time, like, they felt more concerned and more hurt for these girls losing their best friend than it was for their daughter. Because they were like, these girls are children. They're heartbroken because their friend is gone. And then you find out they know more than what they're telling everybody. So you are just like, okay. So they wire up the home. Okay. And when they do that, they invite her over and they're like, hey, tell us, is there anything else you know? And she goes, no, I've told you everything. I swear I've told you everything. She was like family to me. You're like family to me. And they both sit there and they're like, okay, then. And like, whatever. So she leaves. At that point in time, these parents, the quote, you'll do anything for your child, they took it to the extreme, because I would have put my hands on a little girl. If I knew that she was lying to me and she knew where my daughter was, I don't know how they kept their composure, but God bless them, they did. So the three girls, what they think or what they find out happened was that those two, the girls were having a falling out, the three. They were already in an argument, but they, through text messages and cell phone records, they showed that the two girls pretty much were like, Skylar, it's fine. We're friends. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Come on. Come on. And so they planned her murder. And I guess these little girls were sitting in science class one day and then decided that murder was the option that they were going to choose to unfriend her. So they planned to travel along Route 7 on the road. And then they travel to like this secluded area where they've gone before to smoke marijuana. It's just across the Pennsylvania state border. So they've been planning this murder for months. They are prepared. They bring with them kitchen knives, paper towels, bleach, clean clothes, clean socks, a shovel. They conceal the knives on their person, so they hide them on them while being with her. And then they hide all the cleaning supplies and all that type of shit in the trunk of Sheila's car. So once the girls are out of the vehicle, they walk up a little ways and then they're like, "Oh shit. Who brought the lighter? No one? Okay." So Skylar's like, "Okay, I'll go back and get it, you fucking weirdos." And so then the girls walk up behind her and they have agreed upon signal. Out loud, they go 1, 2, 3, and they attack her. She runs, and she's only able to run a few feet away before Rachel tackles her to the ground and continues to stab her. During the attack, Skylar wrestles with Rachel's knife and gets it from her. She cuts Rachel's knee. And that's when her best friend, since she was 8 years old, comes up and stabs her in the neck until she stops making a gurgling sound. There was more than 50 post-mortem stab wounds to her. Afterwards, they attempted to bury her body. They tried to dig her a grave on the side of the road, but it didn't work because the creek that there was a creek that ran along there, so everything was frozen, and so they couldn't do it. And so they covered her body with rocks, fallen branches, dirt, leaves. They went back to the car, cleaned themselves, changed clothes, all of that, and disposed of everything, and then went home. Just went home and talked to her dad the next day like nothing happened. Went to her house, sat in her room. Her mother sat on that bed and comforted you, you little fucking twat. Oh my God, dude, my anger got so fierce. Could you fucking imagine your daughter, your only child has gone missing? And the little twat that claims to be your daughter's best friend, you're consoling her. You feel bad for her. You feel sympathy for her. And this little fucking douche bag, this little Summer's Eve, she knows everything. And she doesn't even say anything or do anything. She just sits there and lets you mourn and lets you break for your child and wants to sit there and be like, "Why? Why would Skylar do this to us?" Fuck you, you little bitch. Oh, God, it makes me so mad. And they were playing, there's a video of them. If you go on YouTube, there's a video of them playing this game. It's kind of like the game that dudes play where it's like, marry them, fuck them, leave them or some shit, where it's like they give out like 3 famous people and you like marry one, fuck one, dump one or whatever it is. And so on the video, they're being asked like, would you rather be set on fire or drowned? And so like you pick one and all of that. And so I guess it is common knowledge that Skylar did not want to be buried in the ground. Like, she had a big thing about being buried in the ground. Even when she was like a sweet, innocent little kid, she still told her mom then, like, do not put me in the ground. Do not. So it was like her mom thinks that they did that to her to like kind of like bam, double kick her below the belt. So it's just absolutely horrible. At one point in time, they got tips from North Carolina. They traveled all the way to North Carolina because they thought that someone saw her on the beach. And like, they were like, this is like almost 100% sure. They got a call from the sheriff or lead detective or whatever when they were in the car, like getting ready to go. And they had packed Skylar like extra clothes because they were like, well, we'll stay on the beach a couple days. We'll figure out what the fuck she was thinking and we'll go from there. And then as they were getting ready to leave, they got the call saying that it wasn't her. Ugh. They were posting flyers. Her uncle made the flyers, and you can watch his, like, victim impact statement and at Rachel's court, and it is literally devastating. It is horrible. The man suffered so, so much. It's beyond belief what it does to a family. From the very top, the FBI actually joined the search for her on September 10th of 2012. And the FBI then starts interviewing more people and the friends and everything else. And they get some more background about the girls. So the break in the case comes from Rachel. She has like a mental fucking breakdown and has to come apart and tells her mom. She has a mental, like I said, a mental breakdown and like tells her mom, does all that. So when they asked her, they're like, well, Rachel, I understand you're having a breakdown and that you guys killed your friend, but why? Why did you do it? And the only thing that they came up with was, we didn't like her. We didn't want to be friends with her anymore. Like, what? What the fuck? You killed her because of that. So she makes a sweetheart deal. Rachel does. She takes the police to Skylar's body on March 13th. The U.S. Attorney's Office released a press statement saying that the body found in Wayne Township, Greene County, Pennsylvania, on January 16th of 2013, was identified as the remains of Skylar Niecy. They were found less than 30 miles away from her home. Horrible. On May 1st, Rachel pled guilty to second-degree murder. Like I said, she got a sweetheart deal. I watched her court, the whole thing. They have the whole thing online, her sentencing. And she gives an apology. She does. And then her dad, Skylar's dad, gets up and tells her, you can take that apology and fucking sit on it. He doesn't say fucking, but he tells her she can sit on it. Because that's about as much as it's worth. And she sat there and cried. And cried. And her family did the crying and the crying. And it was just disrespectful. How dare you? Like, I get it. Dude, apologize. Because, of course, it makes you feel better about yourself. But when you look at her family and tell them, I am so sorry. I would give anything to bring Skylar back. You rotten-ass, dirty little cunt. Are you serious? You're for real. You took my baby, my only child, because you two little bitches didn't want to be friends with her. Get out of here. Get out of here with that nonsense. I, just like Skylar's mother, commend fucking dipshit. For Rachel made a statement, like I said. Sheila Eddy did not. And I commend her. And that's what Skylar's mom said. And I agree with her. I commend her for not looking at that family and apologizing to them and saying sorry when it doesn't mean a damn thing. She isn't sorry. She's not sorry. When you plan it months in advance and it is a talked about thing constantly discussed, you are just the worst of the worst. And the only reason Rachel even got a deal is because she was the first one to sing. If it wasn't for that to break, then are you serious? And some people speculate that the thing that drove them, like what drove them and split these kids up in a way, was there was a sleepover And there was some lesbian action between Rachel and Shaylin, or whatever, between those two. And Skylar woke up and saw it. And so she was like blackmailing them, some people say. Her mom says that's a bunch of bullshit because she knew a bunch of lesbians, gays, all of that. She didn't give a fuck if you were purple, green, or blue. Skylar was gonna love you no matter what. And so that was just beyond belief for her parents to think that these two girls, who have been telling them this whole time, like, she's gonna come home. I know she is. Have faith. Oh my God, like, just deceiving them so much. And in her room is just nothing but pictures of these three girls. Like, everywhere in this girl's room, it's just so devastating. And that's what her parents have to look at, is the killers of their baby. Even in the one documentary, the dad's going through like birthday cards for her and came across one from one of the girls, and he like throws it across the room. He's like, "Well, that's fucking trash." Like, I can't believe it. It's just devastating. It's just absolutely devastating. So, like I said, she pleads to that. They go through the whole thing in the court again, that like they coerced her with marijuana. Skylar takes a bong with her. Rachel has a pipe, so they all think that that's what's gonna happen, is we're just gonna go out, smoke pot like we've done multiple times before, and then we will go and take everybody home and everything will be fine. There was a kid that overheard the two girls talking about the murder plot, but he did not report it. He or she did not report it because they thought that they were just joking and that it wasn't gonna be serious. So, second degree murder of, was for her, like I said, sorry. And then in the state of West Virginia, they recommended 40 years of incarceration. Her family, Rachel's family, gave an apology for her actions through their lawyer, so pretty much meant nothing. They said, "We asked Skylar, we asked Rachel, why did you guys kill Skylar? Why did you guys kill Skylar?" And the only reason she could ever come up with when being asked, and they were asked multiple times, is that they just didn't like her. Oh my God. Even being the cop, I would think I would reach across the table and fucking smack her. On September 4th, 2003, West Virginia decided that Sheila Eddy was found guilty of murder and that she would be tried as an adult. And the grand jury on September 6th found her guilty of one count of kidnapping, one count of murder in the first, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder. She pled not guilty on those charges. Her original trial date was set for January 28th, but it, of course, went through the processes of all of that. And so she have actually pled guilty to first degree murder as a result. She was given life in prison with the possibility of parole after 15 years. So, I don't know. Following her guilty plea, Rachel was sentenced to 30 years in prison and eligible for parole after 10 years. Sheila Eddy was sentenced to life in prison, but like I said, with the possibility of parole. So both girls are being held at the same institution. Her family pushed for for Skylar's Law to be passed. An original Amber Alert was not issued, and her disappearance because of the circumstances did not meet the criteria for an alert at the time. Number one, a child must be believed to be abducted. Number two, the child is under the age of three. Number three, the child must be in danger of death or serious injury. So she met none of those, so that's why there was none. A waiting period of 48 hours had to relapse for the teenager so that she could be considered missing. The Nisi family went and talked to them directly and introduced the bill of Schuyler's Law to modify the West Virginia's Amber Alert so that now every kid, no matter what your circumstances, you will have an Amber Alert for you. On March 27, 2013, the West Virginia House voted for Schuyler's Law 98-0 vote. And on April 12, 2013, they passed the law officially. And so now, no matter what, like I said, if you go missing, you get an Amber Alert if you're under the age of 18. So, and it was signed into law by the governor in May of 2013. So, I mean, there's that comes of her death. It's not fucking a good thing that came out of her death, because her death is not supposed to be. Like, could you imagine that? Think about that. You're a teenage girl. You have friends, right? You guys are like, you have this little clique of friends. Two of your friends in the clique are becoming closer. You get that third wheel feeling. So you're kind of like, fuck y'all. Y'all do you. And they're like, no, dude, just come hang out with us. Everything's kosher. We'll go smoke. We'll blaze. We'll chill. It'll be fine. And you go just to find out that the whole time these little fucking worthless pieces of shits have nothing but ill intent towards you, and you die. Like, no. And then they disgrace you even more by going and comforting your parents. Like, oh man, if haunting is real, huh. You know what I mean? Like, I know two little bitches who need to be haunted. I really think in cases like these, even though they do go to prison, all that, I think that your loved one should be given a good 10 solid minutes with you. That's justice. And then the courts can have their justice. That's fine. We can do our prison time and the courts will be satisfied. But in criminal cases, I believe that it should be okay for the family to get just like a certain, like, we can't kill you, okay? We can't go in there and like murder you. But I can go in there and bitch slap you a good couple 500 times, you know? And then let you go to prison. I can put my hands on, I can get my version of justice, you know? That's what I think. 'Cause ooh, oh my God, the blood. And then for the family to be like, oh, a lawyer, say we're sorry, would have pissed me off even more. You get to look at your daughter. It may not be every day. Yes, you have to schedule, go visit, whatevs, but you get to talk to her. You get to look at her. You get to tell her happy birthday. You get to hope one day upon release that there's grandchildren or whatever, you know. And then you want to tell this family, these two people who had one child that they brought in, they had one life force in this world, and you want to tell them through your lawyer, we're sorry that our daughter is a fucking worthless piece of shit and killed your baby. Oops. We're sorry. Ugh, my God. You guys. The world. And it's kind of like the Slender Man little girls. I'll do those girls one day. But like, it's just like that. Like, we didn't want to be friends with her anymore. And Skylar had bunch of different friends, dude. We had more best friends that we've known longer than 8 years old. Like, she was in no shortage of friends. So really, these two little bitches could have gone about their fucking way and everything would have been kosher. They did not have to go to the extreme that they did. And then you want to sit there and say, I'm sorry. Now I think about the repercussions. No, dude, the only reason why you're sorry, why you're crying, why you're giving me any emotion whatsoever is because you're going to jail. And you're hoping, and your lawyer told you, bitch, girl, if you can cry, cry, because it'll give us good with the judge. That's the only reason why you're crying. That's the only reason why you're saying sorry, is you're sorry you got caught. You're not sorry for what you did because you planned it for months. Like, oh my God. I don't even know how the parents sat there and were like, I support my daughter. Like, I don't even know. I really don't. It's just, it blows me away. And then you get to stand up in court and kill her with your words. And, man. Everybody says I'm a savage with my words, which I am. I don't deny it by any means. But, really? Just to know that, like, you did that to a family should be. Oh my God. A girl your age, your supposed best friend, just didn't want to be friends with her anymore because we were starting to be lesbians and she got found out and was mad. And she wasn't even mad. And that's just it. That was like a thing on the documentary that they were talking about. I didn't read it in any papers, of course. They weren't like, it's because of a lesbian love affair. So, yeah. I don't even, you guys, I just, Skylar Niecy died in the worst way possible. And I can't even imagine. And to die with some like parents that love you so much, and like you are just doing that normal teen stuff. And this is the shit I gotta, like, this is the shit I tell my kids about. I kid you not, I will tell my daughter this story when she is older because you sneak out of your house and you go with people that you think are your friends with all intention to come home. You have every intention to come back. And someone else stops you from doing that. You can't trust anyone. Anyone, really, to the fullest extent, like with your life, you can't. You can trust you and you alone. And that's the fucked up thing, is because who knows, maybe she didn't even have like a bad feeling and been like, oh, this is super shady. You know? Like maybe these little bitches were that good that they like, she was legitimately like, okay, fine. They're sorry. We're gonna go blaze and everything will be fine. And they did that. Like, I can't even. And then to have the balls to go and like the only reason they went around the parents was to ask, like, find out what cops know. You have a lot of nerve. You know? Sheila Eddy had a lot of fucking nerve, dude. She contacted that family more. Rachel wasn't big on like, she went to like the visuals and shit. And passed out flyers and all that, but like she wasn't big on like communicating with the parents as much as Sheila was. She was like, you guys are family. We're family. My best friend. How could she? Where is she? Oh no. Like, I can't even imagine. And then the cop tells you that, like, you don't, like, this girl's lying. She knows what happens to your daughter. And then you invite her over to your house and you don't smack her. And you can't smack her. Oh, God, these parents are amazing. Just the amazing strength. And it's true. I mean, you will go and do anything for your children. And I guess letting a little fucking asshole little girl lie to your face is one of those things that you do because I would have lost my shit the minute she was like, I told you guys the truth. I told you everything. I would have lost my mind. Lost it. Been like, oh, really, bitch? Blah, blah, blah. I would have thought, oh, God. I would have smacked her upside the head and been like, say it again. Wake up and say it one more again. Just so heartbreaking. I can't even imagine. And then you leave her out there for all that time. Like, what kind of person are you at the soul of your core? You are like a danger. God forbid this they ever Rachel ever gets out of prison, or I don't even know. Like, you killed someone because you couldn't say, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And then we're just supposed to be like, oh yeah, she went to jail, so she's learned. Oh God, forgive the next person she don't want to be friends with. Like, I just, ugh. At that age, dude, at 16 and 17 years old, for their defenses to be like, well, they're young. No, they're not. You're almost grown. At that time, dude, as a girl at 16 years old, you already got a crush on a fucking somewhat 20-year-old man, and you're like, bitch, I'm grown. My parents don't know. I be grown. I've been there. I was there. I did think I was grown. I didn't even live at home. Oh my God. Like, just too much. Her dad said it was like the worst hell you could ever imagine living in. And it just broke my heart. Absolutely broke my heart. And then you find out that Sheila, Eddie, went to like a family thing the day after on like a family trip to like a lake of some sort and took pictures and was normal and like threw her knife in the river and like just went about their lives, dude. They just went about their days. Posting pictures on Twitter, the whole thing. And just they didn't even care until they got caught. And that's just the most fucked up thing in the world to think. You look at your kids and you're like, my kid is the sweetest, nicest kid. Yeah, Rachel's mom probably thought so too. Because she sat in that courtroom with shame on her face. And it's never the parents' faults. It's never anybody but the person who did said crime's fault. It never, ever, ever is anyone else besides them. But I don't know. I could never apologize enough, you know, to that family. And every time my daughter had a birthday, can you really celebrate, especially when she's in prison for taking a life? Like, do you celebrate her birth when she took someone's? I don't know. It's just so sad, dude. To be unfriended and murder is fucking ridiculous. And on my birthday. Ugh. Just horrible. Absolutely horrible. Worthless little bitches. Just worthless. And the dad even talked to like the prosecutor or whatever, and he's like, did they tell you why? And she told him, they were like, she told the dad, she's like, yeah, they said that they didn't like her anymore. And even on the show, he straight calls her a little bitch. I love it. He's like, those little bitches said that's why they killed her. And she's like, I'm serious. So, like, their punishment, dude, I think should have been worse. Rachel shouldn't have gotten a deal. You deserve life in prison, too. Like, you were the one who tackled her. You even said you did. Like, I think Sheila Eddy needed more time than life because you're sick and twisted, and you went to her parents' home and like sat on her bed and let her mom comfort you. Oh my God. Ugh. I guess they have asked the parents if like, do you guys want to talk to them? And the mom even said no, because with my anger, like I will go through the glass and attack this bitch. And I don't even blame you. I do not. I would encourage you. You guys, just teach your children how to unfriend people the right way. You know? Like, murder's never the case. Ever. Ever, ever, ever at 16 years old. It's just too sad. Too sad. And it's one of those fears. This is one of those fears that you live with as a parent, and especially someone like me who knows all this crazy stuff, is I know it's not some random creep or anything like that that can hurt you and take you from me. It is that little person next to you that claims to be your quote unquote sister that can take you, and you have no idea. Like, as a parent, it's just nothing but anxiety and depression, I swear to fucking God. And joyous times. There are joyous times because there's cute times, like my daughter just lost her very first tooth. Precious. But someone can come and take that away, and that's all I have. And it's just hard to think that that's the world that we live in, and it's just horrible. So, yeah, I hope you like this review. Girl, let me know if you do. And I just can't even, you guys. I just can't even. Moral of the story, Sheila, Eddie, and Rachel are fucking worthless little cunt bags, and they should have been swallowed before birth or spit into a tissue and thrown away. They are just the worst of the worst children. Ugh, absolutely horrible. So yeah, girl, hopefully you like this because those little spawns, worthless. But yeah, let me know, guys. Follow me, like me on Instagram, Twitter. On Instagram, it is what it is. Pod 19, all together, no spaces, nothing like that. On Twitter, it is what it is 208, because that's where I'm from. And on YouTube and Facebook, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. And I want to thank every one of you. I actually got over 100 subscribers on YouTube. I bawled like a fucking baby. I've literally never put any ounce of myself as I do into this podcast. I love this podcast. It's what I was born to do. I put everything into it as I would my own children. And just to know that people like it and it's starting to pick up blows me away. And I just appreciate every one of you that ever push play and ever make it to the end. You guys are all amazing, and I just fucking love you. And I love that you guys encourage me to keep doing this because it is free therapy and it is just truly a blessing. And I never thought I'd have the guts to sit in my room and talk to myself and do this and accomplish it, but I have and I did, and it's amazing. So thank you guys for being there and encouraging me to do more of them. So I love every one of you, and peace out. Thank you guys.